Oh, sounds called Melvin Rocks. Anyway. So, great. It's fantastic to have Jimmy and Katya here. Shame their children aren't with us this morning, but never mind. We'll meet them another time. But over to you then, Jimmy. Thanks.
Fantastic. Okay, I'll just plonk my stuff down here. It's lovely to be here this morning. Let me just pray as I prepare to preach. So, Father, thank you for today, this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be together as the family of God and to open your word and to learn about playing our part in your mission, Lord. And I pray, Spirit of God, be with us this morning. Give us ears that hear, eyes that see. Pray that you would use my words as well, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and leave us transformed. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here today, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, it is lovely to be back here. It's almost 4 years since we were, well, I was last here when you were in a different hall. This time around, Katya, my wife, is here. So who knows, like, next time our children hopefully will be joining us as well. I'd love to speak today about playing our part in God's mission. I think one of the great truths in Scripture is that we all have a purpose. As the people of God, as the body of Christ, we all have our part to play. Ephesians says that we are God's workmanship. We work made, God prepared works in advance for us, you know, good works for us to walk in before the foundation of the earth. And think about that. When God created you, he created you with great care. He gave you a unique gifts, a unique personality. There are things that God has placed in you for the benefit of the world, to make a difference. And in one sense, as a church, you guys already, you play your part in God's mission. It was great reading through and praying through the sheet of mission partners and just see the array of different things that you are supporting, that you are praying for, that you are giving your resources to expand the kingdom of God locally and in the ends of the world as well. And one of the things I want to touch on this morning is God, he recycles lives. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He fills our life with purpose, with meaning. I think one of the greatest tragedies in a prosperous nation like our own is that we can have, in many ways, everything, stuff we don't need, but yet we can lack meaning. We can have everything but have nothing to live for. And it is very easy in our culture to fall into that kind of consumeristic mindset where life just becomes about making more money and acquiring things we don't really need. And we can just end up on that constant treadmill of trying to accumulate more and really miss what it is God has for us, what he wants to do in us, around us, through us. You know, as Christians, we are called to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Jesus says that all these things will be added to us. In other words, as Christians, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to put Jesus, the King, in first place. And we need to seek his priorities. We need to seek his kingdom. We are called to something that is much bigger than ourselves. And we read this morning, and it's up here on the screen, that we have a calling to make disciples of all nations. In other words, all people groups, all ethnicities. That means here, in this neck of the woods in the UK. That means in the ends of the earth as well. We have a call to make disciples. An abundant life, fullness of life, meaning, purpose, those things are found in a relationship with Jesus. That's how we become alive, spiritually talking. And also as well, that's how we bring life to other people. That's how we bring life to the world around us, introducing people to Jesus, bringing about his kingdom here where we are, where God has placed us. 20 years ago, I feel a bit old saying that now, 20 years ago, I had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. I was 16 at the time. I'd had a rocky time at school. I had been expelled from two schools, ended up going to a school for naughty boys. And inwardly, there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain as I kind of thought, well, I threw my life away. Family life, home life was chaotic. And that really used to eat away at me, particularly at night. We'd just kind of feel like a heaviness or a darkness. And many times where I even cried myself to sleep, if I'm to be honest, and had questions such as, why am I here? What is my life about? Who really loves me? Where's it all going? Things that eat away at us. And maybe even you can identify with some of that. But then I had an encounter with Jesus. I came across Christians who would tell me about their faith, tell me about a relationship with God. I kind of had a nominal Catholic upbringing where we'd go now and again. My dad was an Irish Catholic. We didn't really like church that much. My mum was a seeker. She went through a stage of taking us along to church. I went to a Catholic school for a bit and learned about Jesus, which was great. Would pray occasionally, but when I prayed, it felt like my prayers were just hitting the ceiling. There was no return. But as I talked more with Christians and heard more about their faith with God and this concept of a relationship that seemed alien, but yet observing these people, hearing their stories seemed so genuine, I wanted that for myself and did an Alpha course. And during the course of that Alpha course on the Alpha weekend, I remember praying, Lord, come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And just had this incredible encounter where I just felt the love of God poured inwardly, like this warm liquid love just welling up inside. And I knew it was God in that moment. And everything changed from then. When I prayed after that, I could just sense a connection with God. It was like the start of a relationship, and a lot of that pain and a lot of that insecurity was healed. Now, in a healing or that, so it is a process, and we're always being that process of being made whole and restored by God. But with an instant, he forever changed my life and changed the direction of my life. And going on from there, found out that this God, the creator of the universe, had a plan and a purpose, even for my life, even for someone like me, he made a real mess of things. And that's true for all of us. You know, we're here for a purpose. We're called to be part of something that is much bigger than ourselves. We're called to be part of God's kingdom. We're bringing about his kingdom. We pray, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The main message of Jesus was the kingdom, this new world, this new reality, entering into this broken world, into this dying world, into this world where there's very real pain and suffering, where people live in very real misery, without hope, without direction. Yet the kingdom of God, this new world, this new reality, brings life, brings hope, brings freedom, brings healing, brings restoration. God recycles lives. God gives us meaning, direction, and purpose, and that is found in a relationship with Jesus. And part of our mission, part of our calling in making disciples of all people is helping a lost world reconnect with its creator. God chooses to use us as his ambassadors. He chooses to use ordinary people, despite all our mistakes, all our shortcomings, ordinary people like you and me, to spread this message of hope and love. And he empowers us to do that. As the people of God collectively, as the church, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the benefit of the world around us. A former Archbishop William Temple, he said, the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of its non-members. To get together here today as the church worshiping God, it's not just for us, but actually we exist to benefit. You guys exist to benefit Wellingborough and beyond. Collectively, as the people of God, we exist for those who aren't yet members of the church. Amen. As I say, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And we're all called to play our part in bringing about the kingdom. And we see the kingdom come. When the kingdom comes, we see broken lives healed. We even see signs of God's kingdom. God moving in miraculous ways, speaking, healing, setting free. We see lives change, whole communities changed and transformed. Over this last 3.5 years as a family, we've been in Brazil, in Florianopolis, as you most of you know. Catcher originally from Brazil, spent 8.5 years in the UK here as well. And we headed back to Brazil to really play our part in the mission of God, with a dream of planting a new church from scratch in the city of Florianopolis. There's a picture from the air. And here's the church, how it looks today, where we are. But we started just the four of us, my wife and I, our two children, having a few contacts in the city, not really knowing where God wanted us to get stuck in, but with a sense of calling to that city and to plant a new church that would hopefully bring about the kingdom, see people saved, see lives healed, restored, people come alive and start to use their gifts for God, and the local community impacted. We started small. We started with Bible studies in our home, where we'd look at the seven signs in John's Gospel as simple questions like, what does this teach you about Jesus? What do you need to do with it? And who else needs to know about this? The first Bible study we set out to do, no one came, despite inviting lots of people and lots of people saying, yeah, we're going to come. Second week, on that day, we invited our landlords. They came. We looked at the Bible together. They kind of had a very little church background, to be fair, but really loved opening up the Bible together, commented how nice that was. And then we said, well, why don't we pray together? Is there anything specific we could pray for you guys? Have you got any pain in your body or anything you need Jesus to do in your life? Husband said he was fine. His wife elbows him and says, my son, tell him about your back. And he had injured his coccyx 2 months prior to that and was sitting on a special cushion all that night. Shows how observant I am, or not. Said, Marcelo, I believe that Jesus can heal you, and that's one of the ways he shows us his love, that he's real, that he wants a relationship with us. Can we pray for that to be healed? And he's like, yeah, fine. Can I put my hand there? That's fine. And we started to pray for him there in our living room. And he sensed a lot of heat there, some tingling, and the pain went. Started testing it, and he was completely pain-free. We prayed for his wife, who had a hip problem. They would keep clicking, there was some pain there. Immediately the pain went, the clicking reduced, and within a couple of days, it was completely restored. And it was like that for months. And when we go and play our part in God's mission, we realize that actually he goes ahead, that he prepares the way. And it's his work, and he does extraordinary things. And we've been humbled just to see some of the great stuff that God has done. For example, we had the privilege in November of baptizing a guy called Isael, who turned 70 recently this month. He sent some pictures on my WhatsApp of a very nice barbecue that they love meat in Brazil. Okay, so if you like red meat, you should definitely wangle your way onto that mission trip. I'm telling you. He sent that to make me jealous. Anyway, let's get back to his story. He was someone who never really went to church. His wife started coming to our church, really got really involved. God was doing some great stuff in her life as well. She was healed of a few slipped discs and things, and never really quite knew of Isaiah because he was very talkative, but would never really talk about spiritual things really. But you could see bit by bit he was getting involved in the worship, you know, starting to raise his hands, felt really at home in the church. And you can just see gradually there was change in his life. And on the day we baptized him, he came to Katya and myself, and with tears in his eyes, started to tell us how Jesus appeared to him in a dream. And since that moment, he became a follower of Christ. And we've seen lots of stories like that where God has done extraordinary things in people's lives, and many times in spite of us. God has been at work. The Spirit of God has been at work in people's lives. We've also seen people come more alive in the church culture in Brazil. At times it can be quite superficial at times. A lot of emphasis can be placed on finances. If you've heard the term prosperity gospel, that's very prevalent in Brazil, where sometimes God can become a means to become wealthy, and it's just a real distortion of the good news message. There's a lot of people who get hurt and wounded by church, because church can feel quite superficial, people can feel quite false. And we've had some people who have been close to times at giving up on church, who've started coming to our church, and we've seen some of those folk become alive, go deeper in their relationship with Jesus. One such young man was Marcelo, who now leads our worship. He was someone who hadn't gone to church for a few years, had a bit of a faith but had wandered, but was wanting to come back. And met him at the school or the nursery, which our son Davi went to. We had a good conversation outside, prayed together. Jesus seemed to really impact him in that moment. And he started coming along, leading worship and stuff. And now he's one of our key leaders within the church. And it's just a privilege to be part of the mission of God and see lives recycled, lives turned around, lives restored, and people playing their part in the mission of God. Now, it's been tough at times for us as well. You know, we've gone through moments where that have made us cry, that have caused us a lot of pain and difficulties. It's not a bed of roses, but at the same time, it's an adventure. Seeing God at work. Yes, it demands a lot from us, but we get to see the goodness of God in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And we're all called to play our part in God's mission. So where do we start? How do we play our part? Like I say, you guys are doing that. You're praying. You're giving your resources. You're supporting others who are doing that. But I want to encourage you as well. Open your eyes to who's around you. There is a mission field around all of us. There are people who God is working in. And we need to pray, God, open my eyes to show me what you're doing. And how do we engage with that? How do we engage in this mission of making disciples of all peoples? You know, first of all, there is an onus on us to be a disciple of Christ, first and foremost. Being a disciple, Jesus says in that Great Commission text, he talks about teaching people to obey all that he has commanded them to do. And that being a disciple has a lot more to do with putting into practice what we learn than just acquiring more information. I think sometimes in the church in the West, we fall into this thing of being a disciple is about acquiring knowledge, about knowing more stuff about God and the Bible. No, we're called to be doers rather than just hearers of the faith. So we need to put into practice what we learn from God. We need to imitate our master, Jesus. It's about hearing and obeying. And also, we need to take seriously the kingdom, the principal message of Jesus, and be willing to sacrifice, be willing to lay stuff down if God asks that of us, so that we can pursue him and his kingdom. The word mission or missionary simply means sent. And we're called as disciples to go into the world and make more disciples. And it's interesting how Jesus sends us. This is how he sent the 12. He simply said to them, as you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's kind of quite scary in many ways. But going on God's mission, proclaiming the kingdom, means obeying, and it means doing the very natural, but also the supernatural works of the kingdom. That means sharing Jesus with others, helping people grow as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, caring for the poor, the vulnerable, welcoming others, but also healing the sick, casting out demons, seeking to bring about a more just world, and also sending other people further afield as missionaries as well. God doesn't leave us alone in this task of bringing about his kingdom here on earth, of making disciples. Actually, we go as an empowered people. We go in the power of the Spirit. Our other reading today was from Acts, and verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Do you know, we as the people of God, when we receive Jesus, like that encounter I described, we receive the Spirit of God. And as it says here, when we receive the Spirit, we receive power to be witnesses, to be people who testify to what we've seen and heard. When God's message is proclaimed, the power of God is available to back it up. Now, we don't need to hype stuff up. You don't need to perhaps do what we see on some Christian channels in terms of some preachers, white suits, very loud, hitting people with their coats, lots of shouting, pushing people over. Do you know, I believe actually that we can be naturally supernatural. And God, as well as us being people that are imperfect, frail, God works through people like us. And I believe he wants to increasingly work for ordinary people because he gets the glory, because it's evident that it's him. So often we count ourselves out. So often we think, no, God only works in certain contexts in that way. God only works through certain special people like Melvin, who's ordained. God wants to use you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The power of God is available to you. Perhaps when you share your story with someone and offer to pray for them, the power of God is available to touch that person, to bring healing. Do you know, I've been privileged as I've stepped out and take risks to see God do some extraordinary things in people's lives. But I don't feel super holy. Actually, if you speak to my wife, you'll find out I'm not really that holy. Actually, better still, don't speak to my wife. It's about taking risk. It's about taking God at his word. And often we can go trembling, scared of falling flat on our face. But it's in those instances where we see God break through. This picture here, this is from one of our outreaches as a church. So as we got a beach where we are, not complaining, God calls us to some tough places. We set up a tent, a gazebo. And we just have a sign saying healing and prayer. And we invite people to come over to receive prayer. And this chap here you can see here, he sells stuff on the beach, like kind of chocolates and stuff. And I could just see him looking over, you know, he was quite curious. So I could just see him looking at our tent. So I said, why don't you come over? And it's like, what are you doing? I said, well, we're praying for people today. Could we pray for you? Is there anything we could pray for? And he came to the tent and he started to say, well, I run marathons, but I've got a hamstring problem. I injured myself a couple of months ago and I've not been able to train since and stuff. I said, great, let's pray for you. And as I said to Marcelo, the guy who we prayed for, our landlord, I said, you know, I believe that healing is one of the ways that God likes to get our attention, shows he's real, shows he wants a relationship. Let's pray for you. Can I put my hand on there? And so as you can see, we put our hands on there. A couple of guys from our church came and put hands on him, and we prayed as well. And prayed simple prayers. Hamstring, be healed in Jesus' name. Muscles, be healed, restored. And just asked, what can you sense happening? And he talked about a lot, feeling a lot of heat there, some tingling as well. And I said, well, why don't you test it? Why don't you see if it's better? And very gingerly, he started to test it. And you could see he was quite concerned. And then he noticed that the pain wasn't there. And then he started moving more abruptly, and it was just completely gone. And then started to share more about the love of Jesus with him and asked him the question, would you like to receive this Jesus into your life? Would you like to start a relationship with him? And there and then he accepted that. He said, yeah, I want to know this Jesus. I want this Jesus in my life. It's as we take those risks, offer that invite, and it could be as simple as you notice that someone doesn't have peace, and you can say, you know, God gives me peace in my life. Can I just pray for you to have a sense of the love and the peace of God? And you would be surprised. You would be surprised that God shows up sometimes when we least expect it, or he shows up in powerful ways. There have been times where I've prayed for people, God has touched them and healed them, and I've not believed it. I've been like, really? Sometimes my faith has been, you know, really low, but it's not about our faith. And often, the faith to take a risk is enough to see God intervene. So I want to encourage you guys, you go in the power of the Spirit. You don't need to wait for a special experience. You don't need to wait till you acquire lots more knowledge, until you've completed a theology degree. You just need to be obedient with what you know. Step out. Humbly trust God. We are called to be missionaries, to play our part in the mission of God. J. John says this, Canon J. John, a missionary is not someone who crosses the sea, but someone who sees the cross. Yes, I am a missionary. Yes, I have crossed the sea to a very nice part of the world. But I didn't become a missionary 3.5 years ago when I went back to Brazil. I became a missionary when Jesus came into my life, changed my life, and then I wanted to give that away to other people. I wanted to share that with other people. I saw the cross. I saw the difference that Jesus made in my life. When you realize what Jesus has done for you, and you realize that you yourself are called to play your part in his mission, to be a light bearer for him, to be an agent for change in this world, and you start acting upon that, whether it's in small ways, random acts of kindness, showing love to people, sharing your story, serving the less, the least, when you pray for others, when you invite them to Alpha courses, to church, you are playing your part in the mission of God. When you are helping others to grow as disciples, you yourself find that you are a missionary. So I want to perhaps maybe expand your horizons this morning. God is calling you to be a missionary. He's calling you first and foremost to be a missionary where he has placed you. Where has God placed you? Who has God placed around you? Where is he working in people's lives around you? And be aware that you don't go in your own power. You have the Spirit of God who dwells in you. Little old you, God wants to do extraordinary things through you. He wants to use you to bring life, hope, healing, restoration to broken people around you. Don't count yourself out. Rather, offer yourself to God. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me where you have need. Start small. Start where you are. It may be over time that a greater sense of calling and vocation arises. For me, that meant going to Brazil. For some, maybe that means going into a more recognized, formalized ministry. But even if we're placed in a school, in our workplace, in the gym, we are called to be missionaries there and bring God's light in that place. And that's not a lesser calling than being a full-time missionary in another part of the world, or being a vicar, or being a youth worker, or whatever that may be. We are all God's workmanship, prepared in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance. I want to encourage you, pray about what is your calling, what is your vocation, and how can you start where you are and play your part in bringing about God's kingdom in this world. Amen. Would you stand for a bit? I'd just like to lead us briefly in a bit of prayer. Invite God's Spirit. Just want to encourage you just to open your hands perhaps where you are. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your work in our lives. Your work in us, and also, Lord, that you want to work through us. Spirit of God, would you fall upon us? Open up our hearts to receive all of it, all that it is that you have for us, that fullness of life as a disciple of yours. Also, open our eyes.